RPGNow.com, your leading source for great PDF gaming products. And listeners like you, thanks for using the Tomes Amazon store. Every purchase helps keep the show going.
Hi, I'm Jason Bowman, lead designer for Paizo Publishing, and you're listening to The Tome.
Welcome to The Tome, episode 102. The Tome is a D&D news, reviews, and interview show, and I'm your Tome host, Jeff Greiner. In this episode, we're going to see what this place Corvosa is all about, with the Pathfinder campaign guide and gazetteer. These reviews are brought to you by Jeremiah McCoy from The Basics of the Game, as well as Zachary Houghton from the RPG Blog 2. In this episode, they're going to look at the Pathfinder campaign setting through the two books that make up the setting information we have to date. The World of Corvosa from Paizo Publishing was first introduced to us through the Pathfinder Adventure Paths, and those stories continue to explore this setting in new and interesting ways. The setting itself was originally created for 3rd edition, but it is mostly setting, and so could really be converted for any game or any edition of D&D. First, let's hear from Zachary about the Gazetteer, but before that, a word from our sponsor, RPGNow.com. I love RPGNow.com for all the great PDF content they make available that would never see the light of day in a traditional publishing world. My pick of the episode this time around is the War of the Burning Sky campaign saga. For those interested in adventure paths but wanting to see a 4th edition version of them, War of the Burning Sky is brought to you by EN Publishing, and for about $50... we'll bring you about $75 worth of adventures through 12 modules and 2 campaign guides starting very soon until next year, 2010. Check that out and more adventures than you can shake a stick at over at RPGNow.com.
Get the newest releases at RPG Now. Only at RPG Now can you get the absolute latest and best releases from fantastic publishers like Fat Dragon Games, Green Ronin Publishing, and Wizards of the Coast. There are new products every single day. Come to RPGNow.com and get them the instant they're available.
Okay, and now we are here with Zachary Houghton. Did I say it right?
You sure did.
Fantastic. Zachary Houghton from the RPG 2 blog.
Right, RPG Blog 2.
RPG Blog 2, okay. Mm-hmm. And real fast, if you could give us the 30-second version, why is it the RPG Blog 2?
Well, I used to run RPGblog.org and got burned out with that. That was about 3 or 4 years ago. I wanted to give it another shot, something a little more sustainable, something a little less high intensity than the original RPG Blog. And so I said, hey, how about a sequel? So that's where we got it.
And so here he is now with all of his excellent gaming expertise, and he is going to talk to us a little bit about the Pathfinder Gazetteer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what is the Pathfinder Gazetteer?
Well, I don't know if any of the listening audience is going to be real familiar with the old Greyhawk Gazetteer or a lot of the old Greyhawk Folio, more of an introductory setting product than an entire campaign setting. But the Pathfinder Chronicles Gazetteer by Paizo really kind of follows in that vein of, it's not a comprehensive look, but it's enough to get you in and going in the Pathfinder world of Galarian, which I really hope I say that right. So
that's how I've heard it, you bet.
Okay, great. We're coming in at 68 pages, so not a huge book. but it is full color, soft cover. I've actually got a PDF copy that I'm working off of, but I have had the soft cover as well. So it's an introduction. It's ostensibly OGL, or Open Gaming License, but it's really system generic, for starters. And so it can be used for kind of getting a little bit of fleshed out of a setting or character if you're going into the Pathfinder Society organized play, or if you're just looking for some bits and pieces or a not too heavily backstoried world to campaign in. So
for people who are big fans of Pathfinder and the things that you've seen from Paizo Publishing out of that, but also people who want to go fourth edition, so maybe this is a good system neutral way to get into that Pathfinder world and get that feel of the world, but play whatever system you want to play.
Absolutely. And you know, that's one of the nice things about it is that you know, a lot of people really enjoy what Paizo's done, and a lot of people really enjoy what WotC's done. But for whatever reason, you know, they're either staying with 3.5 or Pathfinder, or they're going to 4th edition. I really like the idea of products that are system light or system generic enough to be used with either one, because you know, both companies really have some tremendous products out there. Paizo's production values and art and writing are just amazing. And so products like this, I hope, can find a greater degree of utilization by both 4th edition players, 3.5 players, I don't know, D6 players, you know, just whatever anyone's playing. So.
Okay, great. So tell us a little bit about what is it that we learn about Galarian in this book. I mean, it's only 68 pages, so you're not getting the full huge campaign setting book that you might expect if you've been picking up some of the recent Wizards of the Coast campaign settings, or any campaign settings tend to be fairly big tomes. But this is a 68 page, fairly slender thing.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of information are we getting in this?
Well, you're actually getting a fairly good bang for your buck, I think. And if you're looking for, as I said, you know, if you're looking for a Forgotten Realms level of detail, you know, that's not what you're getting here. There is another product, the Pathfinder campaign setting, which goes into greater detail, but this is very much an introductory product. You're getting the basic, you're getting your races, you're getting some suggestions for working classes. You're getting some background of the nationalities of the different human races of Galarian as well. You're getting an idea for the nations, the religion, some of the geography. So even though it's not as fleshed out completely as you know, say, a, you know, 300-page, you know, magnum opus, you're getting, I guess, a pretty good baseline from which to game. You know, it's just not – you're not going to run into a whole lot of canon problems, I think, if you go off on your own.
Okay, so it sounds to me that maybe this is sort of a primer on the world, maybe good for the players to pick up, to learn about the world. But if a DM wants to go more in depth, then maybe the campaign guide is the right way to go.
Yeah, campaign setting. Yeah, I think depending on the DM or GM style, you know, some are very happy to take a basic setting and kind of make it into their own little sandbox, and others want that level of detail. You know, either because they truly appreciate having the, you know, spaces filled in for them, or, you know, they don't want to deal with it. I don't want to call it a basic product and an advanced product completely between that and the campaign setting, but it definitely, I guess you could graduate in the level of detail to the campaign setting. It would be very good for players, you know, especially if you've got a group looking to jump into Pathfinder organized play, even, you know, who may not necessarily need to know everything about the setting, but, you know, want enough to have a solid background for when they go in there and, you know, join up in an organized play session or what have you.
Okay, so where is it that this product sort of really sings? That what does it do really well?
That's a great question. Well, if you've purchased any Paizo products over the past or seen what they've done with their Dungeon and Dragon run, which they did a tremendous job with, I always felt, Paizo's got very good writing. You know, they've got Eric Mona and Jason Bullman. Eric Mona is one of my favorites, not only for some of his previous work, but with Greyhawk as well, which I'm a little bit of a Greyhawk fan, so that's great, and some of his D&D products. So the writing's really good. The layout and presentation are quickly becoming, I think, Paizo benchmarks. And the art and the layout and presentation in this, for being what it is, you know, kind of that primer product that you said, is just off the charts. I mean, really, there are not a lot of companies, if any, really doing this better than Paizo right now, in my opinion. You know, they're up there with the best of them. So, aside from the presentation, which is fantastic, I'd say if you go into the actual body, the races and the nationality, I think the nations actually were probably my favorite part, where you just really get into, oh, I'd love to play someone from this nation or that nation. The descriptions, they're brief, but there's enough there to hang your hat on, I guess is what I'd say.
Okay, good. So if that's the real strong point of the book, where are some areas that you think, as a connoisseur of fine gaming products, where are some areas that this book could stretch and could have been improved, or what are some things you wish they would have done more of?
Well, you know, you can only do so much with the classes and whatnot. You know, you're basically just describing the classes, the basic D&D classes as we know from OGL, you know, pre-4th edition and some 4th edition. You know, fighter, bard, cleric. You're describing that. That part came off compared to the rest of the book. I wouldn't say that it's a poor section, but it's a little bit flat compared to everything else, you know. This book has a little bit of the flavor of old-style primer, you know, campaign setting, and a little bit of pulp to it, maybe just a dash of pulp, and, you know, just kind of and that kind of general, hey, let's all meet here in game, you know, kind of the meeting ground for D&D. I guess I just expected a little bit more on inspiration on that part. I'd like to have seen more on deities. I don't think there's anything wrong with how they wrote that part. I just, you know, I guess it's actually a compliment on the deity part that I found myself wanting a little bit more.
Okay, great. So you've gotten a primer on the world through this book. What have what have you learned? What is Galarion? What's it all about?
Oh, yeah. That's a great question. Well, Galarion is very much a, like I said, it's kind of a common meeting ground. To describe it, I guess, in player terms, somewhere where you've got a lot of capacity for adventuring, and not just adventuring, but adventuring that makes some sort of sense, you know. There's this organization called the Pathfinder Society, which might sound familiar to some people. And that's actually a organization in Galarion, and you can be of different nationalities. It's kind of a loose-knit group. It's got explorers, archaeologists, adventurers. And you're going around, you've got ancient kingdoms, you've got cataclysms, all that good stuff that we love. And you're basically, the Pathfinder Society is kind of your reason for going on this stuff. It's not just, I mean, you can still run, we all met in a bar and there's a shadowy old man in the corner with a map, you know. That's still a valid play style, and frankly, I'd hate to see a game in which it isn't, but you've got this chance to kind of explore this world. And I don't want to say kitchen sink for the flavor. I've been kicking this around in my head since I got it, but there's kind of representative of various I guess benchmarks or of good traditional classic gaming. You know, you've got kind of a land of the pharaohs, Osirin, which is where you can do sort of the mummy pyramid tomb adventures. You've got the Empire that's ruled by infernal beings, somewhat behind the scenes, somewhat still lawful, but, you know, just evil as can be. You've got some things that you don't see a lot in gaming, like Galt, which is one of my favorite nations, which is you can think of it as sort of the Reign of Terror, French Revolution. You know, it's a terrible place to be a noble or someone who gets on the wrong side of the whoever happens to be ruling the country that week. But if you're an adventurer, there's a lot of potential there to go in and you know, have those adventures. So it's very much you can probably find a place. I feel kind of that's how it's been designed. You can probably find a place to drop in whatever you're trying to do.
Okay, so in some ways, to compare it to other popular settings, you look at the Forgotten Realms, and they've taken a lot of real-world cultures and mushed them together into one game world. It sounds like Galarian, what you've picked up from the Gazetteer, is that it's more of a world where you take some classic fantasy tropes or classic fantasy settings and mush those together into one.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say there's a basis, and of course this is just my opinion, and, you know, Eric Mona might, you know, angrily disagree. I don't know. But,
right.
To me, it very much feels like somewhere where, compared to, okay, let's drop in, you know, this Aztec, you know, this proto-Aztec culture here and this here and this. You know, Osirian, you still have very much Egyptian influence, but it feels very much sword and sorcery and fantasy and classic fantasy trope driven, as you said. You know, where, hey, let's emulate this here, this here, this here. And that gives you a setting that's at once familiar, but mixes things up where, oh, okay, well, here's an opportunity for adventure. So. And I think if the writing had been, I guess, substandard, then it would kind of come off flat, like, well, we've seen this before. But it's to their credit that they managed to keep everything fresh and new and seem fresh and new and well-presented in a way that kind of makes you think about it a little bit more. Maybe revisit something.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, and it's a, like we mentioned, it's a fairly short book.
Yes, absolutely.
And you've obviously read more than just the Gazetteer.
So, yeah,
I'm gonna ask you to stretch for a little bit here and see if you can see if you can imagine that you'd only read the Gazetteer.
All right.
Yeah. If you've only read the Gazetteer, do you really know enough about Galarian to play a Pathfinder-style game?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a good test of any Gazetteer-type product. You can look at that. You know, am I, you know, yes, I know enough, and no, I'm not just completely swimming in too much information. You know, you got to hit that sweet spot. So I think so, absolutely.
That's a tough balance to hit because I don't know how many game products I've read, and I've picked up a campaign setting or a brand new game or whatever. You read it, and you're like, okay, I understand the rules. How do I make an adventure in this game? You know, what kind of adventures make sense? But you think of the Gazetteer alone can give you that sense of what the Pathfinder setting and Galarian is all about.
Absolutely, I do. And I'm glad you brought that up because now I don't feel so alone with I think that maybe that's a more common problem than, you know, we think. Just hitting that balance, like you said. It's you got to get in there, and you don't want to be totally at sea, but then you don't want to give someone where you've got a group of canonistas and you're trying to run it for the first time, and you're like, no, guys, it doesn't work like that. Well, but, you know, according to the timeline in the year four, you just that's a lot for a GM to deal with.
Absolutely. Good. Well, the book is listed new at $17.99. Is it worth $18?
$18, absolutely. Full color, which is fantastic. The art's great. Binding, when I had my print copy, looked extremely sturdy. So I haven't had any problems with any Paizo products as far as binding goes. So, I'd say so. I'd definitely give it a whirl.
Good. And of course, if you think it's worth the $18, if somebody can't find it at their local gaming store, you probably would say it's worth the $12 that it's available for on the Tomes Amazon store.
Hey, you got to love Amazon. I mean, I love my FLGS, but man, our times are tough. So
absolutely.
You and I
don't feel too bad because you're still supporting that expertise that you get here on the show.
Hey, all right.
All right. Any last thoughts you want to share on the Pathfinder Gazetteer?
Well, I think Paizo is doing a pretty good job so far, and I hope they keep it up. You know, I think they've really been hitting their stride lately, and I think, you know, I know that they're going to be doing some Pathfinder products and some OGL products, but I really do like this vein of system-wide or system-generic product where you can easily port this to another system. In this time of where we have, you know, 5,000 different RPG systems and very good RPG systems, I really like not only Paizo, but some other companies to kind of follow suit on that a little bit more.
Great. All right. Well, that is the Pathfinder Gazetteer. Thank you much for joining us, Zachary. And where can people find out more about you and read more of your wonderful thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you can come and see us at RPG, spelled out, RPG, blog2.com. That's rpgblog2.com. And I update pretty much every day, and we've got some pretty good content. We've been doing some great interviews with some small press and as well as Paizo, companies like that, getting some reviews and just some thoughts on gamer culture. Try and keep it light and keep it fun.
Great. And
just stop on by.
You'll be able to find a link to that in the show notes for this episode.
Oh, appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you, sir.
And now, Jeremiah McCoy will tell us about the campaign guide.
Hi, my name's Jeremiah McCoy. I'm the host of The Basics of the Game. But Jeff Greiner asked if I would go ahead and do a review for him for the Pathfinder Chronicles campaign setting. Now, a little backstory. I actually am running a Pathfinder game right now. I'm using the Pathfinder beta rules, and I am running a Pathfinder adventure line, the first one, actually. So I think that I had a good perspective on Pathfinder as it stands now to be taking a look at this setting and the setting book. Now, this book is assumed setting for the Pathfinder adventure line, and it presumably will be the overall setting for the Pathfinder role-playing game, though this particular book is written with the 3.5 base rules set and not with the Pathfinder rules set. Mainly because the Pathfinder rules set won't be out until August. They've got the beta out now, but they don't have the actual final book, so they didn't write it into this setting. They may, down the road, come out with another book. Now, the contributing authors, there were over 28 of them. There were a lot of them. Nothing wrong with that. A lot of good writers involved here, including names that you might recognize like Keith Baker, Wolfgang Bauer, Ed Greenwood, Sean K. Reynolds, and of course, Eric Mona. The book comes in at a hefty 250 pages or so. Lots of maps, lots of charts. Production quality is pretty high. I did see a few minor editing mistakes here and there, but nothing terrible. The art is enjoyable and of good quality. The layout is easy to read, and they have a rudimentary index in the back, which is nice. This is a very detailed overview of the world of Galarian. There are 40-plus countries, cities, or regions detailed, and when I say detailed, I mean they include histories, political groups, recent changes in how things are working. They will have occasional rules related to a particular section, such as rules for being a gunsmith in a country that makes guns. They have a large section devoted to religion. This section includes new cleric domains, which, you know, is always a nice thing to play with. They include more than 20 gods described, and that's not including the demons, archfiends, archdemons, imperial lords, you know, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, all of the greater evil nasties, as well as those gods. The gods are interesting overall. There are a couple of really sort of classic god types. They don't use any of the classic D&D gods per se, but there are certainly ones that bear a strong resemblance to some previously used gods. the demons and archfiends and such do sound like a, you know, older gods that we are more familiar with. Case in point, Asmodeus. Asmodeus has appeared in D&D before. I believe he's in the 4th edition as well. So it's something that we've seen before and we'll probably see again. A lot of the demon and devil names are all ones that were used in previous D&D editions, including Orcus. I'm not really sure of the state on those as far as copyright, but it works. They're what you expect, so nothing new there. There is a section listing the 5 major mover and shaker groups, including the iconic group of the setting, the Pathfinder Society. The Pathfinder Society is an easy way to convince players to go on adventures, as they give missions to adventurers to check out ancient and secret places and chronicle their adventures. Those chronicles go back to the central Pathfinder chapter house, where they are gone over and the more interesting ones are organized and then sent back out to the other members of the Pathfinder Society so that they have more information to work with. Never very clear on why all of this is being done. There's some mystery to it. But it is a good framework for getting adventurers involved in going and exploring ancient and terrible places. There is a timeline in here for about the past 5,000 years ago, and some little descriptions of the history. Really, there's a lot that you would expect to find in any fantasy setting. An age of darkness, terrible disasters that befell, ancient civilizations that no one knows about now except for a few monuments they left about. Generally, standard fantasy fare there. There are some details about the history, but not a whole lot. We did also find in here some basic information about flora and fauna, new equipment, new feats, none of which are outstanding, but they work. There are new prestige classes, including the Harrower, for people who want to use the Harrow decks. The Pathfinder Chronicler, which is actually kind of, what if you wanted to take on a level of bard? They function a great deal like bards. They have a few different fiddly bits here and there, but overall, they're kind of bards. And the Shackles Pirates, which honestly I think make better villains than good guy prestige classes, but they're very interesting. There's a lot of flavor in them. It's sort of a mystical pirate society. They included some basic information about how to include psionics into the world, weather and climate, the technology. Like I said, there is a nation that involves making guns, so they talk about technology, metallurgy, alchemy, things like that. And overall, those are the basic details they give. The appendixes have a lot of information related to the adventures for the Pathfinder Chronicles. So you can actually get more information for the adventure lines that you may run. There are some random encounter tables, a few sample NPCs, and that's about all of the book at that point. Still a lot of information. The setting is detail heavy, providing enough detail to get a picture of the setting. I have to say that the book overall made me think that the setting was heavily influenced by early setting design. It is reminiscent of Greyhawk and some of the prior editions of Forgotten Realms, for all the good and bad that comes with that. It's a bit of hodgepodge in influence, though. Maybe due to the number of writers working on it. I don't know. But there is a sense that the world does not fit together quite right. It's a series of cool ideas that not all flow from a common vision of the world. The book is a lot more fluff, as they say, than crunch. But I like that. I like my setting books, in particular, to give me a lot of details about the world. I don't necessarily want a lot of new rules or new powers, new things to make my character feel more awesome. as much as I want things that allow me to sink into a setting. And this provides me a lot of the actual details. The book is badly in need of a Game Master advice section, though. There is no sense of commonly used themes or how to best use this book. There is no adventure ideas. There are just a lot of raw details on the setting without suggestions on how to use those details. I think that was something that this book was lacking. I realized that, you know, we kind of went the other way in the fourth edition books, which gave you a lot of suggestions, and here's some adventure, and here's a few other suggestions on how to use this thing or the other thing, but doesn't give you a lot of details. This one gives you all the details, but no suggestions. I think there can be a middle state there that they probably should have pursued. My overall impression is this is a really good book to have if you intend to run anything in the Pathfinder campaign setting. I mean, the adventure lines, if you plan on using the Pathfinder rule set when it comes out. If you're just looking for a complete setting for you to sink your campaign into, this is not a bad one. It certainly offers more info than the two 4th edition Forgotten Realms books, for instance. And that's two books, and they still didn't have anywhere near this. That said, I'm going to give a thumbs up. Despite my minor niggling concerns over certain little bits here, if you're still playing 3.5, use this book, get this book. If nothing else, it'll give you ideas of nations to put into your own campaign setting. You can grab some of these nations and put them into your own setting, and they should work. I particularly like this, the little country that did have the pistols and the rifles and what have you. It was a nice addition to a fantasy world without breaking it. And that was a nice touch to me. Anyways, that was my review. I will return you to Jeff to have him say whatever things that he's going to say. And hopefully I'll have another review for him sometime down the road. See ya.
And that there is episode 102. I thank RPGNow.com for their sponsorship, as well as Jeremiah McCoy and Zachary Houghton for their contributions. Email me at thetomeshow@gmail.com. Follow me on the Vorpal Network on Twitter. Links are in the show notes. And head to the forums at vorpalnetwork.com. Please get out and tell people about the show. It helps us grow, and that helps keep us getting better and better. And there are a lot of people out there that still don't know what a podcast is or how it works, or that you don't even really need an iPod to use it. So, just tell them it's internet radio and that you can listen whenever you want. Educate people. Educate. Also, don't forget to consider checking out the Tome's Amazon store for products discussed on the show and more. The show gets part of the proceeds, and that helps keep us on the air. Links for things mentioned on the show can be found in the show notes on the website at thetomeshow.com. This has been episode 102, Pathfinder Campaign Guide and Gazetteer of
The Tome, The Tome, The Tome, The Tome, The Tome, The Tome, The Tome.
I'm on the wall.